that really thirsty. Like, this will be gone halfway through, so just bear with me with that. You keep hearing slurps over the microphone. So yeah, I'm Daniel Coates. Some of you might have seen the newsletter that went out this week, so you might be surprised that it's not a burglar stood here on stage. Whoever picked that photo, thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot. So I'm Daniel, like you've heard from John. I work at Costa Coffee in Sale. So if you want to come and grab a coffee, come and have a chat about Jesus, you never know what might happen, pop in, come and visit. Big up Costa, down Starbucks. I'm joking, I'm not going to lie, I'm a Starbucks guy and it's all bad. People ask me at work, like, oh, what shall I have? Don't know, Starbucks down the road, you know what I mean? But yeah, so Matt touched a bit on baptism today, and I was just going to set up why are we talking? Why are people getting baptized today? It's a bit weird. We're just dunking people in the water. When they get out, everyone's like, yes, come on. This is amazing. The reason we baptize people is because Jesus was baptized himself. Jesus, we believe, is the Son of God, and Jesus was baptized. But Jesus also told us to baptize people, which is why we baptize people. And for us, it represents a new life with God, a new relationship with God, that when we go into the water, all our deadness and our sin is behind us, and actually we're called into a new life, into relationship with Jesus, which in my book is pretty good news. Pretty good news. So if we're talking a lot about Jesus, you can tell that we're pretty in love with Jesus. I thought, well, let's talk about Jesus. And I'm going to give you a story. And the story's about Jesus, obviously. And it's in the book of John 11. And it's when Jesus, basically Jesus' friend is on his deathbed. He's really, really ill. And Jesus gets word that his friend's ill. So what's weird is Jesus waits a few days before he goes to see his friend. And by the time he got there, his friend's dead. And we pick up the story when the two sisters, Mary and Martha, who are also good friends with Jesus, run out to meet Jesus. So the first one that runs out and meets him is Martha, and it says this in John 11:20. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, when everyone rises again on resurrection day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will not perish. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. It's pretty incredible. Nice little exchange. We fast forward the story. This is where Jesus meets with Mary. Then it says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation and was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. This is important. This is the shortest verse in the Bible, but the most beautiful verse. And it just says, Then Jesus wept. We'll come on to why that's so beautiful in a minute. But the people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Then they came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here so they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. That alone is a pretty cool story, yeah? I could probably just stop there and it would be like, wow, that was incredible. But what I find most incredible about this is this is a God of all creation interacting with his people. This is nuts. This is nuts, man. It's crazy. When they talk about Jesus, they say, it's in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God and the word was God. Right? And that word is interacting and amongst his people. That's crazy. That blows my mind already. Right? It's nuts. It's honestly nuts, right? It says in the Bible that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So if you want to know God, if you want to get to know God, then look at Jesus. Like the visible image of the invisible God. And what I see from this visible image of the invisible God is that God is a personal God. God is a God that gets stuck in with his people. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't stand off. He's not standoffish. This is nuts. When Mary and Martha were confronting him, he didn't get on his high horse and was like, whoa, hold up. I've already told you that I'm God. What are you playing at? Obviously, I'm going to heal him. He doesn't do that at all. He understands that they're hurting. He understands that they're upset and he relates to them. That's nuts. That's amazing. That's genuinely incredible. He understands that they're angry and upset. Obviously, their brother's died, and he relates to them. He relates to their questions. See, I'm going to tell you a story now, and you might get halfway through the story and think, why on earth is he telling me the story? But I promise I'll put a pretty little bow on it in the end, and you'll understand why I'm telling you the story. I should stop shutting this because it takes too long to open up. So, when I was growing up, I was a little bit of a naughty boy. I grew up on an estate in Nottingham, which was wicked, but as part of that, I thought I was a little bad man. And as part of this whole bad man persona, I used to wear my bottoms like down below my bum. Sounds really cool. Problem is, my mum still bought my boxers. So I swear my mum used to set me up. I can remember these boxers that I had. They were like polka dot, and then they had Cookie Monster's face across the bottom saying, I want cookies, right? I thought I was so odd. I was like rolling around my estate like, all right. I was not cool at all. And I can remember this one time. I was a little rat bag, by the way, so just like bear this in mind when I'm telling you this story. I can remember this one Sunday afternoon. I remember it so perfectly. My mum and my nan, they were sunbathing. Just checking out, I got sweat marks. They were sunbathing on the garden, and my garden's kind of set out like this. You got like a paving, and then you got like a paving slope. And then grass. And there was sunbathing, and I came walking out limping, obviously, because I was a bad man. And I was like, yo, mum! First things first, time out, young people. Never, ever, 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 ever talk to your mum like that. Genuinely never talk to your mum like that. Genuinely never talk to Debbie Coates like that. My mum, absolutely... She let me share this story, by the way. Absolutely beautiful. I love her. I adore her. She's my favorite woman on the whole planet. Like, genuinely think she's incredible. She's lovely. She's kind. She's generous. Could not speak more highly of her. However, my mum is slightly feisty. When I say slightly feisty, she's like 5'1", ex-landlady, will knock you out. Like, my mum is solid, right? And I would genuinely back my mum in a fight against anyone. Genuinely. Apart from one person. My nan. Right? My nan is like a little bit shorter than my mum, but I promise you, what she lacks in height, she makes up in feistiness. Like, my nan is like feisty, but then got Scottish blood, so she's like feisty with like a extra hint of feistiness. Do you know what I mean? Like, my nan is nuts. Like, Sean Sankey, genuinely have a go if you think you're hard enough. Like, my nan will knock you out. Now that's over with. So my nan and my mum are hard, right? So they're sunbathing, and I walk up, and I'm like, yo, mum! I'm going out, innit? I had like gum fingers because I was cool. Mum, I'm going out, innit? My mum looked at me. My nan kind of, they both took the sunglasses down like, My mum was like, you're not going out with your trousers down your bum like that. Genuinely the worst decision of my life. What I did next, I do not know why I did it. I grabbed the top of my trousers, which were here, chucked them down by my ankles and went, yo, mum, I'll do what I want, innit? Genuinely the worst decision I've ever made in my life. No, I swear, this is a true story. This is how I was horrible, right? Genuinely, my mum and dad were up and running at me quicker than Usain Bolt. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to hurt. So I like turn and run. The problem is my trousers are still down by my ankles and I'm about to try and get down this slope. So I'm kind of like running down the slope like this. And I was like, this is not going well. I look over the shoulder. My mum's like catching up. She's 5'1", but she is quick. Genuinely quick. Dad, tell mum that I said this story nice, by the way, right? She's genuinely quick, right? So I'm thinking, shoot, she's going to catch up with me here. So as I bend down to pick up my trousers to run quicker, bang! Right hand on my left buttock. Honestly, genuinely hurt so much. But in my head, I'm thinking, Nan's still running, right? So I'm like, still trying to get away. My mum's like veered off now. She's like, she's done her thing. So as I went down to pick up, my nan knows she's got time by now. She's like, bang! Genuinely, I swear I bled on impact. Like, honestly, I was like a ski jumper or something, like, honestly, I went flying. I was like, woo, in my flipping Sesame Street boxes. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I hit the floor. I like grazed my knees. I was like a crumpled mess. I was crying, but I wasn't crying because I was a bad man. So I was like a mess on the floor. And my mum and my nan, they kind of looked at me, looked at each other and were like, done it. Went and sunbathed on the grass. And you might be thinking, why on earth is he telling me the story? And I want you to pay attention. Because genuinely, this is how many of us view God. This is how many of us view God. That God is kind of angry, distant God. That when we step out of line, he's like, what are you doing? That when we step out of line, he's like, you muppet, you've messed up again. That when we get it wrong, he's like, you're an idiot. But I want to tell you today, that is not God. God is a close God who loves you and cares for you. He's not distant. You might have got this idea in your head that this is a God that's all about keeping rules and that it's about keeping an angry God happy. It's not. It's not. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus in this Lazarus story. When the people around him didn't get it and were like, Jesus, if only you had been here. Oh, if you really loved him, you would have saved him. Jesus wasn't like, oh, you deal with it yourself then. Jesus got close to them. He got stuck in. He loved them. He was patient. He was generous. He was kind. Do you get it? This is a God that's passionate about his people when he's close and he's not far. And this is where we're going to get deep because some of you, you might have situations in your life that are like those Lazarus situations that you think, oh boy, oh boy, I need these raising from the dead. Like this is a dead situation. I do not see life in this. I know I have situations like that I think, Jesus, you got to break through here. But what's good and what's exciting is I know a life-giving God. And what's even more exciting is that he knows you. That's crazy. The God who said stars and there were stars, life and there was life, knows you. Not only that, but he journeys through your situation with you. He doesn't just stand off and say, deal with it yourself when you get it wrong. He's like, okay, let's go again. The thing is, we might not get the answer that we think we want. Like Mary and Martha, Jesus, where are you? But I promise you this, I promise that God will show up if you let him. I promise you. It might not look like what you think it's gonna look like, but I promise you he'll show up. Why? Because this is a God of relationship, a God who wants to draw close to you. This is nuts. You heard about John in his baptism story when he was absolutely in his peak. God drew close to him. God grabbed him and was like, come on, John, let's go. Let's do this. Josh Ogilvie, he said I could share this, is a man of many chances. The boy has had chance after chance after chance. And God has stuck with him and was like, okay, Josh, let's go again. Let's go again. I'm not giving up on you, Josh. That's crazy. That's the God that we believe in. The God of all creation that doesn't give up on us. That's nuts. That's amazing. He's not this distant, far God, but he's a God who wants to draw close and is intimate with you. That's nuts. That's amazing. And it blows my mind. Because in your Lazarus situations, I'm not twitching, by the way. This is like really tight, so I kind of got like... the twitching burglar got to preach. I'm take another drink. Yes. You guys might be facing these Lazarus situations. You might be thinking, oh boy, these need raising from the dead. And you might all see dead ends. I want to reiterate, I promise that there's a God of life and hope, and he's close, and he's not far, and he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to make you do it by yourself. He's going to draw close to you. Do you believe that he's the resurrection life? Then he can do it. Then he can do it. This is a thing. He's so close. But this is what's nuts. This is the best bit. Watch me get a little bit excited now. The thing is, we used to be far from God. This is the thing. We were far from God. This is nuts, right? So loads of you know the creation story. We kind of like the gospel is like in the beginning, we walked with God and it was incredible. And then we rebelled against God, ate the apple from the tree in rebelling with God. That meant evil came into the world. Matt's touched on this already, stealing my preach. Yeah. Joking. Evil came into the world. and into our hearts, and man, we were rebelling against God. And what that did is, because God's so big and holy, man, we couldn't be close to God. Because of all the evilness inside of us and around us, remember, we couldn't get close to God. But this is what's beautiful, and this is what's wonderful, is God was like, nah, I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I'm not settling with that. These are my people. I created them. I loved them. I formed them in the womb. Like, I created them. These are my people. And he was like, nah, nah, nah. It's not stopping there. You've rebelled, but I got a plan. I got a plan. And that's my son, Jesus. Wow, this is sick. Jesus, he was like, boom, I'm going to send Jesus. And what Jesus is going to do is Jesus, God, he's going to live a perfect life, fully God, fully man. And he's going to take all our sin, all the evilness in the world, and he's going to bury it. He's going to die on a cross, which, by the way, we crucified him. It was our sin. It was our stuff. And if we were there, I guarantee a lot of us would have been shouting, crucify him. Like, that's crazy. We killed him, and yet he still died for our sin. This is nuts. I wasn't going to say this, but this always blows my mind, right? Oh, God could have stopped it all. Like, think about this. The God of all creation is having his back ripped open by, like, Roman soldiers, right, that he created in the womb, and he still went with it. Do you understand the humility of that? Like, there was not even an inch of arrogance that was like, you're ripping my back open and I'm still dying for you. Does that not blow your mind? That's nuts. Oh, so good. Like, genuinely, and God was like, I'm not having that. And he wanted to restore a relationship with us. And what happened is Jesus died and he rose again. And it meant that all that sin was dealt with. And it meant we could enter in a relationship again with God. So don't give me a cheer, because that's flipping good news. Genuinely, that's so good. Oh, God is so close to us, man. And God wants to get close to us. And God knows us so intimately. And you know how I flipping know this? Because it's the shortest verse in the Bible. This is how I know that God wants to... Oh, that God knows us and loves us. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why on earth is Jesus... Why on earth is Jesus weeping? He knows what he's about to do. He knows that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows what's going to happen. Everyone around him's doubting him, but he knows what's going to happen. Why does he weep? He weeps because his people are hurting. He weeps because they think there's no hope. They don't get it. He weeps because they were hurting. This is a God that passionately loves you and feels with you. It says so many times in that passage that he's moved. You think God's this distant, standoffish God that's just looking at you like, well, pray to me if you want. Do you know what I mean? No, he's not like that. He's a God that gets stuck in and is passionate about his people and wants to get close and know his people. This is flipping amazing, because it's true and it's genuine. Like, this is nuts. And this is why these boys and Hazel. My bad. This is why they got baptized today. It's because actually they recognize that Jesus is their savior. And actually, the living God that said stars and there were stars, light and there was light, oceans and there was oceans, they could have a relationship with him. Oh, that's amazing. That's why they got baptized again, because they want to get rid of all their old self. What's the point? It's pointless. It's pointless when you know the living God. And they're like, boom, you know what? I want to rise again. I want to follow Jesus. I want to make him king wholeheartedly in my life. Nothing else. That's what I want to live for. Because there's nothing else to live for. Name me something. It's pointless. Honestly, have a go. I don't care. This is a God who created everything. He said stars and there were stars. That's what we want to live for. And that's what this is about. To say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God of all creation, for having a rescue plan for me. That's amazing. That's incredible. And in a second, we're gonna get an opportunity to respond to that. And I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you want to make Jesus king of your life, if you recognize this is something pulling at your heart, you think, yeah, you know what? Actually, this is real. And I hope you do, because it is real. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to that. But just before you do that, some of you might be sat there and you might be thinking, you know what? This is not resonating in my heart. Don't really get it. In fact, I don't even believe it at all. I want to ask you this question. If you were on a plane, right, and a pilot said over the tannoy, guys, there's been some engine problems. There's a 10% chance. Ring back in an hour. So. Plane story. So, if you're on a plane, right, and the pilot said over the tannoy, guys, there's been some engine problems. If we take off, there's a 10% chance that this might explode in midair, and then who knows what would happen, right? Or I can get off, give me half an hour, we'll wait here for half an hour, I can check it over and check that we're all okay. What would you do? You'd wait half an hour. You'd wait half an hour and get him to check over. What's half an hour? Right, if even 10% of what you've heard today here is true, what you've heard me say, what you've heard these guys say is true, then it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. And I want to invite you, if you don't want to respond today, but you need to think about this because this changes everything. Like, I'm encouraging you just to take half an hour in your week. What is half an hour? What is half an hour for eternity? This is nuts because it changes everything. It changes your life, it changes your family's life, and it changes where you go when you die. But not only that, it changes the fact that you could have lived 60, 70 years with a purpose, with the living God. And I'm not saying that when you become a Christian, everything goes honky-dory. Not at all. In fact, some of it should go the opposite. You really should be challenged on what you do with your money, what you do with your time, what you do with your focuses, and that's incredible. But it's all part of a journey with God. But I want to say this stuff matters. Just give it time. Just have a little think about it. Take half an hour. Ask God if he's real. Ask him to show up. I promise you he will. I can guarantee it. It might not be in a way that you think or look, but mate, this is a God that died and is passionate to get close to his people. This is nuts. This is good news. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. That if you want to say, you know what, actually, Jesus, I'm going to make you king of my life. Actually, I get it. This is proper my heart, and actually something's going off here, like fireworks in my heart. Then we're all going to close our eyes now, and we're going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes, we're going to bow our heads. If that's you, if you think, you know what, yeah, this stuff's true. I get it. Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. I don't want to mess around. I don't want to live for anything. I want to live for you because you are the God that created everything and you love me and you know me. If that's you, then what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and then in a minute we're all going to pray out loud and I'm going to ask you to pray that with your heart. So if that's you, then you can raise your hand now and that's just like a step to say, you know what, God? This is me committing. This is me in. So if that's you, you can raise your hand. Great, so we're going to pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us. Thank you that we can be born again to have a relationship with you. Thank you that you know us intimately. God, I give my life to you and I make you king. Change me. In Jesus' name, amen. So for some of you, the band's going to come back up in a minute. You can come up now if you want to do that little bluesy keys thing. That's all. No, joking. After. So I was going to get all Pentecostal then, but so if you guys are hearing that whole Lazarus thing and think, you know what, I got situations in my life where I really need God to show up. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to respond to this. And you think, you know what, I need the situation raising from the dead. I don't see hope in this. I don't see light in this. I know a God, I tell you now, I know a God that does. I know a God that does, a God that can heal this situation, a God, and it might not look the way you look at, like I said, it might not look the way you want it to look, but I know that God that can raise that from the dead. And I want to invite you when the band comes back up, if you gave your life to Jesus, or you want to respond and get some prayer for the fact that there's a situation in your life that you don't see hope in, that you see hopeless, that you see dead, and you want a God that can change that, can raise that from the dead, and the prayer ministry team is going to come and pray with you. Is this all right? Yeah? No, you can come to the front. The prayer ministry are going to pray with you. And if you're asking, if Jesus, if only you were there, I want to say, come and ask it. Come and ask it, and let's get prayer for that. Yeah. Thanks for having me. When a song comes, just come to the front, and let's respond to that.
Thank you.